Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. I'm recording this on Thursday, November 7th, and there's nobody with me because, frankly, I forgot to book a guest. I was laying in bed last night thinking about all the things that I had to do on Thursday, and I had that sinking feeling when you realize that you completely forgot to do something, and I realized I hadn't even thought about the podcast this week. So on short order, I didn't want to bug anybody else. We have a lot of people out of the office with the ADPI Risk Management Conference in Chicago. We have Yifan and Alfredo from the Chicago office down in Brazil this week. We have a couple of people from the various European offices at Gulf Foods in Dubai. So we're a little bit short-staffed anyways, and most of the news and developments this week, at least in terms of hard data, has been in the U.S. market. So I want to talk a bit about the U.S. market. This week, we got dairy product production data for September. We got import-export data for the U.S. for September. And when you combine that with the cold storage report that we got about 10 days ago, we now have a complete view of the balance tables for September in the U.S. And when I was looking over the markets yesterday, what really surprised me was how orderly the decline in the cheese, U.S. cheese market and Class 3 futures have been. Class 3 milk is the milk that goes into cheese. Or I guess the more accurate way to say it is the Class 3 milk price is driven by the price of cheese. It's the minimum price that cheese plants pooled on the federal orders have to pay back to dairy farmers. And we've seen the CME spot cheese market drop by about 50 cents a pound, $1,100 a ton over the past month, which is a significant decline. That's a 20% decline in prices. And consequently, the Class 3 futures have dropped quite a bit as well. We've lost $3.50 a hundredweight. Again, that's something about 15% drop in Class 3 prices. And despite that bearishness, despite that significant decline in futures prices, the futures market hasn't gone limit down on any of the days, I don't think, in the past month. It's just been an orderly decline, 10, 20 cents a hundredweight lower every day, not every day, but most days over the past month. So I talked to Dave last week about this, that the U.S. cheese market has been weaker than we were expecting. And I don't think I got my point completely across. The weakness that we're seeing seems to be on the demand side. We got the cold storage data again like 10 days ago. Cheese stocks at the end of September were 33 million pounds lower than forecast, down 7.3% from last year. Massive decline in cheese stocks. Cheese stocks are some of the tightest that we've seen in a long time. And then we got the production data this week. U.S. cheese production. Let me look here. I don't have it in front of me. Pull up StoneX Plus. U.S. cheese production for September was up just, that's the Western U.S. One of the nice things, I was trying to look at the regional breakdowns on cheese production. And on StoneX Plus, you can easily flip and look at state-level production or regional-level production. But in any case, U.S.-level cheese production in September was flat year-over-year, and that was 18 million pounds lower than I was forecasting. So you look at this supply situation with production 18 million pounds lower than forecast, flat year over year. You look at the resulting inventories being down 33 million pounds from forecast, 7.3% from a year ago. You look at the trade data, U.S. cheese exports were pretty close to forecast, up 6.4% from last year. And you say all of these numbers look bullish. Why has the cheese market lost 20% in the past month? And my explanation, the only thing that really makes sense to me is weaker demand. The calculated domestic disappearance for U.S. cheese in September was up just 0.7% year over year. That's a slowdown from more than 1% growth in July and August. And generally, since February, sales have been growing in the 1% to 2% range. Now we slowed down to 0.7% for September, and we're probably looking at an even weaker number for October. What's driven the slowdown in demand? It's really hard to say. We started the year with incredibly weak domestic disappearance in the U.S. We were down over 3.5% in both January and February. You know, there was commentary, maybe it's recession, maybe it's cost of living, maybe it's Ozempic, maybe it's all kinds of different things. And then as mysteriously as the demand collapsed in Jan-Feb, it bounced back for most of calendar 2024, or at least from March through September. And now it feels like that demand side has dropped off again. My guess is the demand probably comes back. We maybe front-loaded the holiday season demand a little bit. We pulled that a little bit forward in the year. We're going through a little bit of a dip right now, and that demand probably comes back. Now, what's really interesting is it seems like the U.S. dairy industry, the U.S. cheesemakers, have gotten pretty good at matching their production to their sales. And you can't do it perfectly because you don't know exactly how sales are going to turn out during the course of a month. But with the slowdown in demand, they also cut production in September, which kept those inventories tight. Now, with new cheese capacity coming online, one of the big new plants started up in late October. Maybe some of that production discipline is going to break down a little bit, and maybe we build inventories back a little. But it's been amazing how restrained cheese production has been, how well cheese production has been matched to demand, and that's keeping those inventories tight. So the fundamentals through September still look pretty supportive for the U.S. cheese price. Demand must have slowed down for October. Maybe the cheese production picked back up a bit and we're putting some additional pressure on pricing. But in general, I really don't think we need to be in the $1.60s or the $1.70s, $1.80 to a $2 type cheese price for CME spot pricing continues to make sense with the type of fundamentals that we're looking at. On the butter side, butter production for September was also stronger than expected, 4 million pounds higher than forecast, up 11.3% from last year. With that cheese production turning out lower than expected, it freed up fat and skim to go into other dairy products, and both butter and non-fat dry milk, skim milk powder production came in higher than forecast. Now, inventories of butter were also higher than forecast in September, up 13.6% from a year ago. But the interesting thing is the butter disappearance, it's our estimate of butter consumption, remained very strong, up 10% year over year in September. Now, I really think that is demand getting pulled forward. There were so many concerns about a lack of butter, a shortage of butter in Q4, that I think the end users and the industry has pulled some of that demand forward, and we're probably going to see those sales numbers drop off for the fourth quarter. But again, you look at the demand side, the domestic demand side on butter, it has really overperformed this year, up 4% year to date on a 12-month rolling basis, up 4.5%. And despite that, the inventories are still well above year-ago levels. So it's hard to get real bullish on butter, given the buildup in inventories, given the expected slowdown in demand here. But I don't want to get too bearish on butter, because if and when the cheese demand comes back, it's going to pull some of that milk back away from butter. Just lastly, on the non-fat market, non-fat dry milk, skim milk powder production was higher than expected for September. That was a bit of a surprise with the bird flu in California and half of the powder being produced in California. I thought we were going to be looking at some pretty weak powder production for September, but it was better than expected. And inventories ended, well, inventory held by manufacturers was up year over year. I think it was 3.6% at the end of September. So the fundamentals on U.S. non-fat dry milk skim milk powder were more bearish than expected. And yet we've seen some continued strength in the U.S. spot market here in late October and early November. And you really can't point to any of the fundamentals and say, here's why the U.S. price is firming and why it's holding a big premium to the other major exporters. There's just nothing in the data that strongly supports that. But we're here. We're at a premium. Sellers have not been overly aggressive. And when they've come into the market, the buy side has quickly grabbed the product. You know, it feels relatively range bound. And with a fairly strong GDT event this week, with a little bit of strength in the European skim market, that gap to the other major exporters is narrowing a bit, even without U.S. prices coming down. So it's hard based on the fundamentals to get real bullish or to point to anything specifically that's really supportive for U.S. non-fat. But it also doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of downside risk, at least short-term, for non-fat either. So it's kind of a steady range-bound type market. But from a longer-term perspective, if prices in Europe and New Zealand don't continue to increase, if that gap doesn't get filled, maybe that's the wrong explanation, if that spread doesn't tighten, then the downside risks on U.S. non-fat start to increase a bit as we get into 2025. With that, I don't have a guest to thank, so I'm not quite sure how to end this thing, but I guess thank you for listening. And if there's ever any topics that you want covered or people that you think I should talk with for this podcast, always feel free to reach out and give us any kind of feedback on the podcast or any kind of request that you have. The StoneX Dairy Team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPAD and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales. Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority Registration Number FRN 446,717 by to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFE is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Luxb 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activity activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial PTE LTD Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8R SFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. StoneX Financial HK Limited C No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial Thai Limited SFA Akin 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission AFSL 345646. StoneX Securities Co. Limited SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104-7199 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Services Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of StoneX Financial Inc., SFI NFAID 0476094, or StoneX Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652, and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ECPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the StoneX group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of StoneX Group Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 StoneX Group Inc. All rights reserved.